Hey everyone, thank you for joining us on this incredible platform, Encounter. You know that it is here where we get revelation, impartation, and equipping. My name is Leon DePrio from Encounter Church, from Encounter Christian Church, Encounter Global. You will see that this word will lift you, will empower you, will equip you. So I want you to stay tuned. Before that, go visit www.encounterchurch.co.za for any resources to give via any platform for any video resources. Become a part of this family. Become a part of this network. I can't wait to be with you today. This message is going to be pure revelation. Stay tuned, and I can't wait to see you get into the message. God bless you. I'm going to get into how to unlock the word, and we're going to show you some practical things. We are going to get into it. It is going to be very, very good. I'm just looking for something. Read to me stuff, what people are saying there.
And then we also have Karen Kuchia. I trust God for full healing of my lungs. And then people are still tagging their friends on Facebook. Larissa saying, thank you for your time to fill us with knowledge. God bless you. On Facebook, we have praying for my visa release this week in Jesus' name. So people putting a demand on their seat that they have just given, and they're still busy giving and going to give in this time of lockdown.
Amen, amen. And you'll see through your giving how the word will be unlocked to you even more. And I can testify so many times how I would sow and give since the day that I met Prophet, and every single word that he's given me, whether it's related to my finances, yes, business, my family, children, and ministry, and going into ministry, has literally point for point come to pass since the day that I've met him. And I've always been able to trace that back to seeds that I've sown. And this is not even a thing that was taught to me initially. It was something that was just birthed in me when I had an encounter with the prophet through his word and the prophetic word. And you'll see that the way that he unpacks the word tonight will be pure prophetic revelation. And we're so excited for tonight. People are sharing this broadcast. And I see Allison on YouTube is saying, I thank the Lord and my Savior for finding you, prophet, as I was looking for so long for a true prophet and a place to sow. Amazing. A place to sow. The person that would look for a true prophet to sow, as all the prophets I followed are abroad, and thanks for finding you. That's a powerful testimony.
Who is that?
That is Allison September on YouTube.
Awesome, Allison. Thank you, and follow our ministry, and you will learn so many things. If somebody just come on quick, they can sometimes not understand us fully, because to kind of like understand us, you have to be in a flow of things and how we do things. So, and then the prophetic anointing in you will be unlocked for you to understand. But I want to show with you, and I'm going to give you a little bit tonight, the software or resources that I use. Now, I shared one of them last week, but there is another one that I want to show you tonight that is kind of like free. And for me, it is one of the best, where you can study the word in depth, very richly, and open it up very well for you. And how me, even as a preacher, I've never really gone beyond those type of resources, even though there are many ones available. There's ones that for even up to 100,000 rand, but it's not for me. Maybe for teachers or for scholars and for theologians, but for me as a prophet or a prophetic, even as a preacher, I'm going to give you what I use, the type of resources I use, and the programs. I'm going to show you practically tonight. So stay connected. We're going to be answering you on, like, what is the need of commentaries? What is the need of lexicons? How does it work? Why have I been reading the Bible wrong? Why have I been studying the Bible wrong? And this is not to somebody put this or took this title as an insult. Their heart is just full of offense. And, I saw somebody, there was another guy on Facebook that attacked us, and his comment was pure judgmental, just attacking. And then I answered back, and then all of a sudden he says, yeah, you know, you Christians, you just judge this, want the money, this, that, that. I said, but you're the one who attacked me.
Yes.
You're the one who judged me. I didn't judge you, don't you think you have a problem with the tongue? You know, the Bible says that the tongue ignites the very fires of hell. in the book of James. It is like a rudder, and it directs your whole body, not only your body, your whole life, your business, everything will be coming from your tongue, what you are speaking. And there's nothing more foul, nothing more debasing than Christians or believers attacking one another. Number one, calling one another out on their we have so many people calling us out. And I'm thinking, on what are you calling us out? Oh, on the Bible, on your interpretation of, do you know this Bible? Even Satan used this Bible. Jesus. So now what now? Did he do it by the measure? Did he call Jesus out by the measure or the word? Which he did. He said, scripture this, scripture that. I test the spirit. That's what the devil did. And there's nothing more wicked than that. We don't want our followers to be like that or have that nature or characteristics. I understand some ministers have it, but that's not my ministry. I haven't been called to attack or expose. I believe when you go down to that level, I believe it is a fallen state. And people think their ministries is that. It's not like that. They must just repent and get changed. You know, the most funny thing is the ones they attack doesn't, those ones just go, any minister that people attack, whether it is Joel Osteen, Benny Hinn, myself, other people, it's, you know, we don't even know who is attacking us. I've had people sometimes, all they would talk about is us and our ministry from the morning to the night.
Yeah.
I don't even know who they are. It doesn't affect the finances that's coming in. It doesn't affect our ministry, but it affects their life. And I think that is the most saddest thing of it all, is that it affects a lot of ministers want to know why their ministry is not taking off, and it's the tongue. All because of that. So, you can measure. I'm not even going to get into that. Maybe that is for partners. But you can measure someone's heart by the financial success they have. Jesus said, where your heart is, that is where your treasure is.
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying if you don't have that your heart is bad now, if you're struggling with money. Of course, there's economical conditions that we are linked to and connected to in South Africa. But it doesn't matter if you have 100 rand coming into your life. The stewardship of that will show and determines a person's heart. And listen to me, when your
heart
is good, your life will eventually be, and when your tongue is right at all, your life will eventually be steered into the right direction.
Amen.
A lot of people are reaping some things because of what they've sown for the last 10 years.
Yes.
Just because you're saved doesn't mean you're not going to reap what you have sown.
Wow.
There's a time of sowing, a season of sowing, and then there's a harvest time. The Bible says it says there's a season for sowing and then harvest.
That's
it doesn't say harvest, season of harvest. It says harvest. Meaning, when you begin to harvest, when you begin to reap, there's not a time when it's going to be stopped.
Yes.
It is going to begin to overflow. So I hope you catch that revelation. But disqualified. Is there a thing like being disqualified? How can we be disqualified as a Christian? I am not speaking about salvation or being accepted in the body of Christ. I am not speaking about salvation. Okay? Everybody, if you get saved, you get saved. But there is another part in Scripture where, there's another level where it requires us to be qualified and to be approved and to be tested. A lot of people, when we say those wordings, like, there's no works, this, that. Yes, regarding salvation.
Lorraine Grief is asking, I would like to know why 7 books were kept out of the Bible in the time if Martin Luther and now...
That's the Apocrypha. So the Apocrypha was taken out because it was not deemed canon. It was not Martin Luther. It was taken out, I believe, by King James. It was taken out because of it looked too fantasy, far-fetched. That is why they removed that scripture. Now, it doesn't mean that it is not inspired.
Yes, yes.
Okay, there might be one or two that is inspired. I'm not telling you what or that it is. Because, for example, the book of Enoch was used. So, the book of Enoch was used as inspired speech.
Yes, yes.
As inspired scripture in the New Testament.
Yes, yes. Brother.
But they took out, they took it out, and we understand that the Bible here is the canon of scripture. So that is how God intended it to be if we have it today like this. That is the canon. Never violate this word. Never go into extra biblical and put it in as biblical or as canon of scripture. You can use those other books and the apocryphal books for history,
yes,
not
yes.
for inspired speech or to be have the Holy Ghost speak. It's not going to work. That's when it gets to demonic and false teachings.
Yes.
So that's a very important question. It's not only the Apocrypha. The Apocrypha was taken, apocryphal books, or however you announce it, was taken out. But there are other books also, obviously, that they found, like the Lost Books of Eden, and etc. and etc. Now that can help in terms of historical information, but be careful when it comes to that. Now the book of Enoch will speak to you about the names of angels. It'll speak to you about the job functions of angels. The Lost Book of Eden will tell you about the fallen angels, what has happened to Adam when he was put out of the garden. But there's no way, you see, how did the Bible come to place? And we maybe do something. How did we get the Bible?
Yes.
See, this is, you have about 5,500 manuscripts where the interpretation and translation of the scripture as we know it has been translated from, and it is up to the translators to that what manuscripts they take to make it match with other ones and to make it the most constant language, meaning they have to ascertain the age of those manuscripts. They have to ascertain the authenticity of a manuscript. They determine by its common use, its repetitive use, by obviously discoveries that they get the age of it, and then they will look at the style of writing. I'm not a scientist or a theologian or a scholar to tell you exactly this is how it is, 1, 2, 3. But
yes,
they will look at the style of writing, how it is written, so to see the authenticity of it and then match it with other ones. And those are thousands and thousands. And one of the manuscripts that the King James Version is being translated from, the majority is what we call the Textus Receptus manuscript. And that is why I believe, and many, many believe, it is the most accurate when it comes to certain things, because the constancy of the translation out of that main manuscript was applied. So let me see.
So on Facebook, Stephanie Forsley says, so those books are for your information and not for your inspiration.
Yes, and if you're going to use it as in, I will say very careful, because doctrines of demons can so easily come in.
Yes, yes.
To a that is, you know, be careful even reading those books. You know, you can go find the Gospel of Thomas. You can go find the Gospel of Judas. You know, according to Judas, you can go find so many biblical books, but a lot of it is obviously faked. It's added in to confuse. And so you won't know, as somebody that is just Googling, what is really genuine, even as being used as historical
yes,
documents.
Yes.
I would say be very careful. You know, the book of Enoch is okay for historical study simply because it was quoted from twice in the New Testament. So, and that is like Enoch, Maccabees, da da da. And you know, the Maccabees, those things is in Roman Catholic scripture,
yes,
Bible,
yes.
Where it speaks of purgatory, or it's bringing through the idea of purgatory, but it's not constant with scripture and the consistency. That's the other way on how to translate or interpret the Bible. And doing a verse, you need to have what we call consistency of scripture. Consistency of, it's called contextual consistency. The term contextual consistency, meaning, you know, there has to be a consistency of the language throughout the scripture. So that is very important. But can I be disqualified? How am I disqualified? Can I be disqualified? How am I disqualified? And we are not speaking about salvation. It's not speaking about salvation. If you are saved, you are qualified to be saved. But there is so much more than just being saved. You can save be saved and be poor your whole life, have no success, have no favor, and go to heaven. That's not what we want. Yes, you have eternity in heaven, but you still have 60, 70, 80, 90 years here on earth. Yes, where you want to have a success. And listen to me, eternity depends. Let me write it like this. I think, what is that guy from that movie Gladiators or something? He made a saying. He said, eternity echoes what we're doing today or something like that. Eternity.
Prophet Tian Harris say on YouTube, people should read their Bibles first from cover to cover before they go and study other books excluded from the Bible.
Yeah, first go read your Bible. Yeah, so eternity. Eternity is, or let me say it like this. Let me say it like this. Like, what we do in this life echoes in eternity. Now, it's not but scriptural and blah. Yes, but there is a, what you do in this life will determine your rewards when it comes to eternity, millennial reign, and etc. And in the New Jerusalem, as we shared in our end time series, where there's 12 judgments to a believer, and one of them I'm going to speak about being disqualified or not. It'll determine whether you'll be successful in eternity. Imagine being poor on earth. People will be poor in heaven. I don't think that, you know, we read the Bible, we're going to be walking on streets of gold. Yes, not your gold. You're going to be walking on it, but it's not yours to enjoy. And people don't understand that heaven is temporal. It's a new Jerusalem coming down. It's heaven coming down onto the earth, onto a new earth, new Jerusalem. And there is going to be a normal life going on, just in an eternal state. But you're going to have schools. You're going to have a lot of things happening. In fact, you will have right throughout there natural people living, natural. We're going to be spiritual and what we call interdimensional beings. Although you will have natural people living in the new earth.
Yes.
And, that one confuses people sometimes. And we don't even want to look into that, but that is how the scripture explains it. And it leaves it kind of like open-ended. But it tells me that believers can be poor in heaven. Yes. And, some are going to have more than others. Some is going to be rewarded with more crowns than others. And the problem with it, there is a day of shame that I'm going to give you now. A person will be saved, but there's a day of shame. So I want to get to, you know, what we do in eternity, what we do in this life echoes in eternity.
Yes.
Whether it's reading the word, studying the word, being successful with finances, giving, helping the poor, helping people, building and advancing the kingdom of God on earth, advancing that. Giving into ministries, preaching the gospel, laying hands, becoming a leader, making a difference. All those things, how we treat others, our personal relationship with God, all those things will determine disqualification in one sense that I'm explaining to you now, and what we will have for eternity. And this is what we call living in the light of eternity, living every moment or every second in the mindset of thinking about eternity. It's like an investment. You don't invest short term, you invest for long term.
Yes.
Eternity is long term. This life is but a glimpse when it comes to eternity. So when you go to, let me go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number, let's go from verse 14 to 16. And, this is what Paul is saying. Listen to this, and it'll be on the screen for you at the bottom. And in this sessions, I trust that you have your Bible with us. And listen to this. Paul is saying, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words, to no profit, to the ruin of hearers. Now, he's speaking here about gossip and division in the church. But there's so many believers. I have sometimes sat with believers, and all they can do is always talk about others or talk about nonsense.
Sure.
Your words will determine your life and what you will reap. Whoa. But then Paul goes on. He says, look, don't just be talk, talk, talk. Your tongue will destroy you. Verse 15, he says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. In the King James, put it for me in the King James on the screen. It says this in the King James, which is more accurate. It says, study to show yourself approved.
Yes.
Study to show yourself approved of God. There's something that we can do to be approved. Study to show yourself approved of God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In New King James, he says, be diligent. Be diligent in what I'm going to tell you now. To present yourself approved to God through what? The studying of the word, as the King James says. So he says, look, there's an approval of God that comes. And it comes through something.
Amen, amen.
So that you don't need to be ashamed. I want you to see this. We have the word approved. And then we have the word ashamed. Then we have the word ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase in more godliness. Shun those who are not discussing or talking the word or not talking about good things. They're just talking nonsense or talking about other people. Shun them. The word shun is speaking of manure. So here we see two big words, approved and ashamed. There will be a day of shame for many. And I want you to go with me. Put on the screen for me 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse number 4 in the New King James. Listen to this. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse number 4. It says, but as, so Paul, the Apostle Paul is speaking here to the Thessalonian church. He's saying, but as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. Here you see another again, a word. Is this in 1 Thessalonians? This is 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 4. Okay. Paul is saying, but we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our heart. So here we have the words approved again, ashamed in the previous verse, and then we have also the word tests. He says, God who tests our heart. Paul is speaking about ministers here as a whole. He's speaking about himself. He says, we have been entrusted with this gospel. This is not speaking of any person that can just go and preach the gospel because of evangelism. This is somebody that has been entrusted with keys to be anointed as a minister, be able to preach and live of the gospel financially. But Paul is saying we have been approved. The word approved means we have been put through the test, examined. We have been tested to the most intense degree to see whether we are real or not. And when we have passed that examination, we have been then entrusted, put in charge, but trusted by God with the gospel.
Amen.
Okay? Entrusted with the gospel. Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. So, I lost my train of thought. Approved. Is everybody still online? Hey,
are people commenting? Still alive on Facebook. Kevin Schwartz says, shoo, so powerful revelation tonight. Thank you, prophet. Things that I never heard before. Bernice Bredenkamp says, wow, I definitely don't want to be poor in heaven. And then on YouTube, we have Teresa saying, wow, I love what you just said about the word.
So I haven't started with it yet. I'm going to give you 3 or 4 points tonight that is important. Listen to the word approved. Paul is speaking about another approval apart from salvation. So people will manifest about this thing, especially those with wrong doctrine. We're not speaking about salvation. We're speaking about those who are entrusted with the gospel to preach. You see, I have a saying always, I say in our church, the mic will expose you. The mic will expose what you have inside of you. And it all comes back down to the word and whether God has approved. He puts you through a fire, a furnace of fire, to test silver and whether you are made of silver and gold. He tests our works in the day of judgment at the Bema seat. As unbelievers will be judged by fire, we will be judged by fire as well. A different fire that will expose our works. But that is not a day of only joy receiving rewards. I preach in the end time. Bema seat is to look forward to. It's a day of rewards. It's also a day to look with great fear. Because it'll be eternal shame, even though somebody is in heaven. And, you know, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 15, it says, study to show yourself approved, so that you can be a workman, rightly dividing the word of truth, not being ashamed. A workman not being ashamed. Put it on. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 15. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 15. Just follow with me, guys. Therefore, brethren, stand... Sorry. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. But be diligent to present yourself, study to show yourself approved of God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed. The word ashamed means to be embarrassed in front of everyone in the Greek. It is to be made a spectacle of, and for a hypocritical nature to be made manifest. I want to show you, the Bible says, commands us to study the word. So many people take this Bible and they read it, but they don't study the word. They read maybe, only 10% of Christians maybe read the Bible. Another 1% or 2% actually study the way we showed last week. And I'll show a little bit tonight, just now after this. And we share with our e-groups. We got tomorrow night starting our e-groups. Oh, well, we started last week already. That is our cell groups. And we have a online e-group as well. So we have all our e-groups, over 50 of them or so, meeting online. And then we also have our online e-group, which is for those of far distance in other nations, in other regions, or so that want to be online, that is not in an area that can meet after the lockdown, but they want to stay in an online group. And we had between, I think, 50 or 100 signups just for that group, that online Zoom. And that is at encounterzoom.com. Am I right? Encounterzoom.com. So you can anytime go there to sign up for our online e-group. And you'll be part of all our cell groups and e-groups that will be getting this teaching in more in-depth, and they discuss with one another, they go on Zoom. It is our e-groups between 5 or 10 or 15 people together. They discuss the word, and there I share with them the resources we use, the software we use, all those things we use to unlock and study the word better. And that is just a series for 2 or 3 weeks we're doing. Then we're going into other things. Our e-groups are those, that's where people are being discipled. That's where we're being trained. That's where they're being built up. And those are the ones that are serious. Don't just be somebody that is watching. If you don't have a church to belong to, get into our e-groups. The word will be unwrapped in a more powerful way there. But listen to this. That's at encounterzoom.com. Encounterzoom.com. Okay.
And brother, so, just a comment here from Annette. She's saying that in this lockdown, watching all the live streams and receiving impartation, I've been set so on fire. This anointing is real and it's tangible. And a lot of people have been blessed by the live broadcast. I've surely loved it so much.
Our broadcast is just only now beginning to get better in the sense of the broadcasting quality and the flow. So it'll get better and better and better. But listen to this. So many people read this word. A little bit. No, 10% of Christians maybe read the word on a monthly basis, not even a daily basis. Wow. Then you have 1% that studies the word. I have read this word, I read the word most probably every day. In the beginning of my ministry, in the beginning of my Christian life, I read the word and I studied it for hours and hours a day. Even after I was married, I studied the word. Whether it is later, I prefer late at night than in the mornings. But I study it. I got programs. I got resources that I'll show you right here tonight what I'm kind of like using. But for years, I've studied this word. You know, I've got Bibles, old Bibles in my office that almost everything is marked. I've studied it. I've got notes, meaning from the beginning of my salvation, maybe 2 months after my salvation, I could quote scriptures. I could quote the whole 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, 13, 14. I could quote when it comes to Ephesians chapter number 4, chapter number 6. Now I'm just speaking of, I was just a young believer, and there was I would write lists and books of my favorite scriptures that I quoted, that I would put on my walls, things that I would trust God for. Then I went deeper, but I began to study the word, began to study it within within the context, in the Greek, in the Hebrew, with resources. And that builds and gives you substance so that you may not be ashamed. There are three ways that believers are ashamed when they don't study the word. Three ways that Paul's speaking, and there might be more, but let's just give you this. Three ways that we will be ashamed. When the Bible says that we need to be approved and that we may not be ashamed. That word ashamed, to be embarrassed, to be put out as a spectacle for everybody to see. And this happens to a lot of people. Now, I want to give you the three points on how people get ashamed and how not to get ashamed in those three areas. How to be a student of the word and be able to be ready to not be disqualified, but be qualified in everything that God wants to use you. It is the greatest testimony we can ever have, is to be believers who are qualified, whether it's in the word, whether it's in finances, whether it's in our commitment, our attitude, our faithfulness, in every area. So I want to give you three reasons, and three reasons as to why or how we can be ashamed. And this scripture of 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 15, about studying the word and not being ashamed, can be applied to our life, everyday life. Listen to this. Three ways. Let me put it like this. Three ways to be ashamed. And our midweek services is something new, so it is not, I think we have, was around 350 or so, almost 350 people online right now on our different platforms. And then afterwards, our videos get so much views. We have just begun this, and I know in the next year it is going to be big. It is a different avenue on teaching the word. Instead of just congregating together, even though the church opens, we'll always have a broadcast on how to, or teaching you the word and getting into things, even prophetically for those who are of far distance. And three ways to be ashamed, or how people get ashamed. And believers get ashamed. You know, we can be, number one, ashamed on Judgment Day. Let me say ashamed on Judgment Day. Ashamed on Judgment Day. Please take note that I say Bema Seat Judgment, and not that I say, this is the Bema judgment. Bema is, in, even though it is a judgment to look forward to, scripture and in the Greek it speaks more of a fearful judgment. As much as it, what it is to lose rewards, to gain rewards, it is also a time of losing rewards or seeing others getting rewards what we are supposed to get.
Yes.
So number one, we can be ashamed on Judgment Day if we are not approved or qualified. So the Apostle Paul, I think it is 1 Corinthians 9 verse 27. I think so. 1 Corinthians, put it on for you. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 27. Yeah, is it on? So listen to this. Paul is saying this. Paul, who is a believer, who is an apostle. I discipline. The word discipline means to discipline, okay, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. I want to get to the word subjection. The word subjection means to beat physically.
Whoa.
So Paul didn't go and physically beat his body, although some scholars, theologians think he has, that he that Paul had a problem with speaking negatively and running his mouth. And so he would take his fists and hit the bottom part of his face until it's blue and black, because he had a problem with gossip and negativity. That is what some scholars say, because the word subjection means the bottom part of face. So I'm going to say it again. The word subjection means to the bottom side of your face.
Sure.
So it says, I discipline my body, bringing it into subjection. Bringing it into subjection. Then he says this, less when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So here Paul is speaking again about disqualification. He says, I beat the bottom part of my face. And it's an image of an area of his flesh that was out of control. He said, I discipline my body. I bring it into subjection. I beat my flesh. I starve my flesh. Lest, in case, I preach to others and I am disqualified. He's not speaking about going to hell. He's not speaking about losing out on salvation. Many, you see, this is when we study the word, unlock it. We will, people will read commentaries, and some commentaries can say that, and that's wrong. The doctrine is wrong on it. It's because they had only a certain amount of revelation at that time. But
Prophet Naomi is just saying here, my spiritual eyes were open so much the last few weeks. I've grown so much closer to God. I am totally in love with my Abba Father. And Manette's also saying, I want rewards. I receive this word. I take it by force. And the people have been so blessed by all the teachings that they've been receiving and really enjoying tonight so much, Prophet.
Awesome. So we see everything. We see all your comments. And any question that you give, our guys are taking it down. I'm going to
yes,
answer
Prophet.
It right now at the right time. I just want to see how the image looks. Okay, it looks good. Looks very good. I hope this is broadcast quality.
There's a nice silhouette behind you as well.
So listen to this. Listen. Paul is saying, disqualified. He's saying that I beat my body and I discipline my flesh, lest I become disqualified. And what he means there is that that he was speaking, that whole context, you see, scripture must take into context. You must read 26. And I think 27 is the last verse, I think so. Yeah, that's the last. So you must read 26 and this in context. He's speaking about running a race, speaking about the incorruptible crown, speaking about rewards and the Bema situation. And then he speaks about his disqualification. So he's saying, I don't want to be a Christian where my flesh rules.
Sure. It's powerful.
I preach to them and I preach great rewards. Others get it to whom I preach, but on the Bema seat, because I wasn't qualified, I wasn't approved, I didn't put my flesh into subjection. Like he's saying here in the scripture, he's saying, I'm gonna on Bema day, on Bema seat, if he doesn't discipline his body, he will see those who he's preached to receive rewards and not him.
Sure.
And everybody will see it for all eternity. Okay, so it's like, this is an example of somebody whose flesh rules. The Bible says that Adam didn't rule over his flesh. Didn't rule his spirit. So when he allowed when he submitted to Eve to eat of the fruit, his spirit wasn't in control. He didn't rule his household or his spirit well. And we have to rule our spirits by putting our flesh into subjection.
Yes.
There's no other way. If I watch TV or I do this or I do, all that stuff feeds the flesh.
Yes.
There's two things that feeds the spirit. Three things that feeds the spirit. The word feeds the spirit. The music, guys.
Yes.
Prayer feeds your spirit. Revelation feeds your spirit. Okay, so there is so Paul is saying, look, my flesh rules. If my flesh rules, I don't beat it and brings it under subjection, I won't have rule over my spirit and I will be disqualified from rewards. This is, for example, somebody, if I preach to you and I say you must have a prayer life, you must pray, or the, and I don't pray. Or I say you must study the word or read the word and I don't do it. Or I say you must do 1, 2, 3 and I don't do it. It's somebody that preaches, that is one face preaching. Paul is saying, I don't want to preach to you one way, but be disqualified in my life and I miss out on rewards.
Yes, yes.
Because I haven't gone through the approval. That is one way how we'll be ashamed on judgment day. And if somebody doesn't understand, let me know. The second way, how we will be ashamed. So listen, how do I fix that first one of being ashamed on judgment day? I bring my flesh into subjection. I beat my flesh. The only way I can beat my flesh is by getting into the word and prayer, revelation, fasting, studying. If a Christian watches TV from morning to night, their flesh will be built up,
yes, yes,
very strong. If people, listen to gossip all the time, their flesh will be built up strong. The way I feed my spirit is not by natural things; it is the word that feeds a person's spirit.
Yes.
The second way of how do I not getting ashamed on Judgment Day? Putting my flesh into subjection. Number two, because comments will be too small, but that's fine. Point of reference is fine. That's fine. So, where was I? Point two. The second way we can be ashamed as believers. So I said to you, the first one, put your flesh under subjection.
Yes, yes.
Put your flesh painfully under subjection. When you have pain or when you have, you put your flesh under subjection. And when you read the word, you study the word, it brings up revelation, it opens it up. The second way we can be ashamed, missing our season and opportunity. I'm writing wrong here. Okay, missing our season and opportunity. I think it is Ecclesiastes 9 verse 11. Put that on the screen for me. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 11. Is it that one? Let's read this one. I returned. It's only showing all for the scripture again. I returned and saw under the sun. Listen to this. Ecclesiastes 9:11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. It's not to those who are fast. Nor is the battle to those who are strong. Nor is bread even given to the wise. Nor is riches to men of understanding. Nor favor to men of skill. Look, this verse is saying right now that everyone in life has an opportunity. It's not whether somebody is born with a silver spoon in their mouth or have this. No. It is somebody isn't rich because they are favored in one way. This is what the book of Ecclesiastes is saying. It says, but time and chance happen to them all. Time and opportunity. Meaning, everyone as a believer, whether that's 5 years of your salvation, 20 years of your salvation, anywhere in your life as a believer, you will be given a time and a chance, an opportunity and a season.
Powerful.
Where God will put you, whether it is in front of people, give you a business deal, doesn't matter, whatever it might be. If we are not prepared for that season, we lose out. They have scientifically proven a person only gets 3 opportunities in their life. The one is at the age of directly after school. The other one is again at the age of like 23 or 24. The one is directly after school, 21 years old. The other one is about 30. And then those who are lucky, maybe by 45, maybe. In fact, I think it's only 2, scientifically proven, where somebody gets an opportunity, a time. a season they are in. Now we know when you are a believer, when you are a practicing Christian, there is a season that is upon you. You can provoke God's seasons to come on you. Life says you have, so let me just say that scientists and life and statistics says, life says you have two seasons, main seasons, opportunities. The Bible says that when you sow financially, you create your season. I had many seasons in my life, and I've grabbed many of them, but my sowing and my gift creates a season for me.
Yes, yes.
That is very important. This is a truth I learned so many years ago. But time and chance, listen to me, opportunity comes to all. When a person is not prepared during that opportunity or beforehand, when they are given that moment or opportunity, if the lack of preparation is there, it's going to show. How do I prepare? Studying the Word. If I'm full of the Word, it'll come out wherever I am. Whether I talk to somebody, whether I minister to someone. You know, put on for me 2 Timothy 4 verse 2. 2 Timothy 4 verse 2. I think. 2 Timothy. Yeah. 2 Timothy 4 verse 2. So listen to this. Preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke. If I take someone watching now and I say to you, come on Zoom, you know, preach for us quickly, just for like 30 minutes or 20 minutes, so, you know, or preach or give a word what God is saying to the people. Those who are saying no are disqualified. Those who are saying they can't, they are still disqualified. They have not been approved. They have not right studying the Word where they will not be ashamed. So, somebody that is full of the Word, I give, the Word will come out. It is prepared in every season, whether it's winter, whether it's summer. Whether you, we have a saying, we wake you up 2 o'clock in the morning and we say to you, pray for this person now, or do deliverance. You don't have to go and pray yourself up.
Yes.
Or fast. If you do that, you're in flesh, in the flesh.
Whoa.
The Bible says we are in the Spirit. Paul says we are in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is not by works we do. It is a position of grace that is given. You are in the Spirit. But there are those who are in season and out of season. When we study the Word, you're already in season and out of season. When you study the Word, doesn't matter what situation you are put in, there's no embarrassment, no shame coming. It's coming out to everyone. So we will be ashamed on Judgment Day, on Bema Seat, which is the greatest day of regret. Listen, that is a regret that will carry on for eternity.
Sure.
You will always know that one got more than me, or that one got something that I was supposed to have.
Sure.
Always, it'll be there in eternity. That is the day when fire will burn us or everything around us.
Whoa.
And show the true self. Whether what we have preached, what we have said, what we have lived, and what we have done according to business, the will of God, ministry, every individual, whether it is in the will of God or not, whether it has a sure foundation of being silver and gold, a sure foundation that will not be burned. Wood, hay, and stubble will burn. It's going to burn up with fire. And the Bible says we will be saved just.
Amen, amen.
Just being saved at the time. Meaning, it is a day of fear and terror. Bema Seat Judgment. We'll be given, that is the day when we'll be giving account on how I've put up the light here.
Sure.
How I've spent money there. How I've been committed to 1, 2, 3. How I have treated my family, or how I have preached to others. How many souls I've gotten saved. What I've done with what God has given me. 2 Timothy 4 verse 2 says, be ready in season and out of season. You know, this is when, in fact, let's carry on reading verse 3. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure to sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. Next verse. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside. Verse 5. But you... He's speaking now about Timothy again. He's speaking about false teachers, then he goes back to Timothy. He says, but you Be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. You know, the Bible says, be a soldier, a good soldier of Jesus Christ, enduring hardships.
Amen.
This life of Christianity is hardships.
Yes, yes.
It is afflictions. It is a life of pain when you pay the price to be what God. And now listen, he says, when you endure afflictions, when you do the work of an evangelist, when you win souls, you study the word to show yourself approved, when you fulfill your ministry, verse 6, listen to this. Oh, sorry, I'm at the wrong verse. But anyway, it's still good. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. I'm going to read this whole thing in context. Verse 8, finally, listen to this. Paul is saying, there is laid up for me why I have endured afflictions.
Sure.
I have done the work of an evangelist. He's saying to Timothy to do it. I have fulfilled my ministry. Every single one of you have a ministry to be fulfilled.
Amen, sure. Amen.
He said, finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. What day? Bema day of judgment. And not to me only, but also to those who have loved his appearing. Those who have loved encounters with him. He's appearing. This is speaking of the rapture and all those things looking towards that. But that is for our end time teaching. But listen to what Paul is saying. He's saying, there's a crown laid up for me. Go with me to 2 Timothy 2 verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 verse 3. Listen to this. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 verse 3. Listen to this. You therefore, again, endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Are we like, what's happening? Go on. I said move on. No one engaged in warfare. Listen to this. He said, I want you to endure hardships. Number two, no one engaged in warfare in this life of Christianity, when you give your life to Christ, entangles, and he's speaking mostly here to Timothy as ministers, but all of you, you do your work of an evangelist and the work of a minister, knowing the word, reconciling man back to God. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. He's not worried about this talk or what this thing or the economic crash or what is that. He doesn't engage himself with affairs. When people talk or gossip about the latest movie, or they don't entangle themselves with that of this life.
Come on,
but
come
he
on.
Does what he's supposed to be doing so that he may please him who has enlisted him as a soldier, so that I may please Christ. Because he's the one that has enlisted me here, not men. Next verse. And also, if anyone competes in athletics. See, Paul is speaking about all this, and the other also that I just spoke about in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. He's speaking about the Bema, about the rewards. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to rules. There are rules to life. There are rules to the spiritual life. Next verse. Listen to this. The hardworking farmer. Now this is for my staff that complains. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops.
Amen.
So he's saying, look, if you are enduring hardships, you are being approved, you are not ashamed, you endure afflictions, you do the work of an evangelist, you fulfill your ministry, you do all those things, you run according to the rules, you beat your flesh and putting it down, to not be judged on the, you do all these things, and you, as you, then he says, God approves us in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, or chapter number 4 verse 2, or 2 verse 4. For 2 verse 4, 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 4, he says, we have been approved and entrusted with this gospel. So that approval takes place, you are qualified to be paid by God. Number one, a soldier does not look after his own needs. The one that enlists him is looking after his needs.
Amen.
A, a, an, an athlete who runs wins the crowd. A farmer, that Paul is saying here, he's speaking about three things: a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. A farmer partakes first of the crops.
Yes, yes.
Meaning, when you do these things, you then are allowed to begin to live off the gospel. I'm speaking now, therefore, ministers, but when you apply the law of giving and sowing, men will come and put into your bosom. Men will come, whether it's accounts, just putting money into your account, whether it's your business or your work that is just promoting you. Whatever it might be, they will put it into your bosom. Men will come and put into your account.
Prophet, I just see Charisse is saying, this is such a powerful teaching, Prophet. Thank you. Ronaldo is saying, this teaching is incredible. And Jacques saying, hallelujah, amen. Larissa saying, amen. And people are really enjoying the word. People are saying, this teaching is stretching me. This is incredible. This teaching is platinum. Yes, and platinum you'll also find on leondepria.com when you go to partner now. That's one of the levels that we have of partnership, and that's for the elite partners. And Tina's is saying, thank you, Holy Spirit. Help me not to miss nothing, please. Let me run this race with great endurance, says Manette. Evangeline in the United States is saying, speak, Holy Ghost. And a lot of people are saying, amen, amen, amen. I see Adabanjo is with us saying, I receive. And he's receiving that fire tonight, Prophet, as you're sharing the word. And on YouTube, it's saying, Madeleine saying, yeah, we know what God has called us to do. Every time we feel that we need to put it into action, then it gets blocked by circumstances. Is this because we missed it, Prophet, or is this because it's not
just
the right
that
time?
Again? Sorry.
So Madeleine's question says, yeah, we know what God has called us to do. Every time we feel that we need to put it into action, then it gets blocked by circumstances. Is this because we missed it, or is this because it's not the right time?
Okay, Madeleine, who is that?
Madeleine Jansa van Vieren.
From Richards Bay.
She's on YouTube with us.
From Richards Bay. She was the other day. Is it Madeleine or not?
Madeleine, are you from Richards Bay, if you can confirm?
There
for
was
us.
Somebody that said that Madeleine, or I just wanted to know if it is them, maybe it's not them, that also spoke about ministry and etc. From Richards Bay. Madeleine and I prophesied or ministered to them.
We're just waiting to confirm here for you.
So,
Prophet,
the third point, the third last one, of how are we ashamed? I said to you, we will be ashamed on Judgment Day when we don't put our flesh under subjection. Number two, I said we will be ashamed when we are not ready in season and out of season and taking opportunity. And the way we do it is by preparing and being always ready in the Spirit. Whether it is by filling ourselves with the word, prayer, being ready. You know, God works like that. He just comes and he gives somebody an opportunity and see if they're ready or not.
A prophet, Madeleine has confirmed that it is her from then, Richards Bay.
So,
and you prophesied over
I think, Madeleine, there's a lot of factors. You know, when it comes to breakthrough and so on, there's a lot of factors that constitutes, you know, when it comes to breakthrough and those things. You know, I would say, in my experience, association, personal relationship with
yes,
God.
That's true.
But association. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Be imitators. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. And when you have somebody that can feed you and lead you, it changes the way you think life should be or decisions should be made. When you subject yourself to somebody else that has made it in a certain area or so, you know, or successful in a certain area, then you learn from them. A lot of people don't want to subject themselves. They still say they do, but when it doesn't meet their requirements, when it gets uncomfortable,
yes,
they leave to the next one.
Yes.
So that is the problem that we're sitting in right now. People are orphans, or they're going to all. They have like a father here and a father there and a father here and a father, and they are so confused. Because they just jump all over the show.
Deliverance.
But this association, giving, relationship with God, you know, and following the will of God for your life. But if I had the wrong associations, I would not be where I am today. So God would
That's
lead
true.
You to right
That's very
association.
True.
Yes,
it's very true.
I would not be where I am today. So there's a lot of answers to your question with that. And I would say a person starts off first to get their spiritual environment right. What feeding are they getting? I can eat healthy food. I can be healthy. I can get unhealthy. Revelation is healthy. And when you see how people look, you know, I've sometimes gotten into a church or churches, and then you can preach. I can preach as a prophet and people just, they don't even look at you.
That's right, prophet.
Over the show, they yawn and they cannot, they are unable to receive. That means that preacher have not delivered the word in a revelatory form or has fed them to or made it palatable that they could eat it and grow. So when food comes or healthy food comes, they cannot receive it and they cannot even understand it. Doesn't matter what you say, they cannot understand it. People's hearts must be prepared to receive the word. And if their hearts are not prepared to receive the word, you can preach any word you want. It will fall
right,
on
prophet.
Wrong
that's so true.
Soil.
That's so true.
So we said, first one, you'll be ashamed on judgment day if your flesh is not put to death. Second one, you'll be ashamed when you're given opportunity or season, when you're not prepared and have the word in you or be in the spirit, you're not prepared. Number three, a person will be ashamed when pressures of life come, for example, Corona. You know, I saw in the lockdown, I saw so many Christians or believers manifest. They all of a sudden, they go fear towards finances.
Yes, yes.
Because when they are squeezed, what is inside comes out. So Matthew 15 verse 11, just put that on the screen for me. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth defiles him. What comes out of the heart. Put for me on Mark 7 verse 15. There is nothing that enters a man from outside that can defile him, but it is that which comes out of him, out of his heart. The Bible says, guard your heart, for out of it flows forth the issues of life. That defiles a meaning. If you are being squeezed, what is coming out of you?
Yes, sure.
Do you have the word coming out? Or do you have, you know, when you are squeezed, let me just write it like that. Or when you are tested, squeezed, I always tell our people and our staff and team and so on that I have to test them. Paul said, I have been approved, then entrusted with the gospel, because God has tested our hearts. No, God doesn't use one person unless they are tested.
Yes.
And I'm busy with a book and a course type thing about process. No person, no believer, even if you are watching, no believer can ever enter into their destiny, the prophetic destiny, ever without being tested. If you have not been tested with fire, you will not enter.
Yes.
No person, you have to be shaped and formed and molded to enter into what God has for you. Paul said, we have been tested and approved. Therefore, we have been entrusted with a ministry.
Yes.
If you're going to be entrusted with your future, with your destiny, with this ministry, business, whether it's for your family, God will put you through tests and testings. In the test, you will have the word coming out of you. If you are full of the word, you will have prayer. Or you will have love coming out of you. You know, during this time of Corona, you have some people that give towards those in need. And you have others that squabble up all their for their selfishness. Guess what? Corona has squashed them and squeezed them and showed the real person inside. So they were not the real person, was not the one that was giving to the poor or needy. The real one was fear and saw first this money, that, or I'm going to get affected here, or I'm wearing a mask. I'm not saying don't wear a mask, but you can see the fear of believers. Some people say, but what about, you know, after this lockdown, we must give believers some time and we must understand if they don't come to church. It's rubbish. You know, what life are you living? Are you living a life of fear, or are you living, you know, after the corona, I don't want to come lest I get infected. Where's the Holy Ghost that you've been preaching for so many years, or that you've been singing about, worshiping about? And I'm not saying violating, I'm saying when the lockdown is lifted, then you should stay at home because of flu, because of a headache, because you're going to get you have more chance to die in a car accident.
Sure.
During this time, the spirit of fear grips people, and the spirit of fear manifests in many forms. It manifests even with the thought of logic to say, you know, don't go, just rather be safe. That is what's going to come to many believers, and that is a way of testing.
Sure.
Because what if this doesn't end? What if times get worse? What if you're going to a meeting means your head will get cut off or you'll be killed? Then people wonder why there's no power in the Western church. So I can be squeezed and this comes out, or I can be squeezed and a bad attitude comes out. Where am I now? Attitude comes out. And it's not because I can't spell, it's because I'm writing and teaching you here. A bad attitude comes out, or selfishness comes out. Swearing comes out. We're doing a marriage thing on Friday, and there are just certain type of boundaries that my wife and I have never crossed. Swearing, foul language. I've seen so many Christians, they'll just talk foul language. They will make coarse jokes, or vulgar, but yeah, they have a vulgar language, or they scorning a lot of people, and but it can come in jokes. Your mouth is just filled with that. And I always say salvation is carried in our mouth. The Bible says, believe in your heart, but confess with your mouth that you are saved. So the pressures of life will bring this out. And during moments of pressure, guess what comes? Shame, embarrassment. And the way, one of the sure ways, now I said, putting the flesh under control. Number two, I said, be ready in every aspect. Number three, when pressures come, there's one thing that stands. It's not even prayer. Prayer, yes. But there's one thing that stands. Let's go back to this camera. There's one thing that stands. Or there's one thing that allows a person to be mature. And for them, it's when you get into the Word, when you read the Word, and when you study it, it becomes a part of you. It's a living Word. Doesn't matter what time I'm in, or doesn't matter where... what is happening, whether it's persecution, death, coronavirus, sickness, it doesn't matter what is happening. You know, I know of a test, I think it is Dr. Rodney R. Brown, who lost his daughter.
Yes, that's true.
How old was she?
She was 14.
16. I think 16.
Yes.
16 years. I think it was on, and this is not to belittle him in any way, it's a good testimony. I think it was on Christmas, and this was not before he was a Christian. This was after he was a Christian, after he was preaching. On Christmas Day, 18 years old. So, how do you respond when pressures come against you? What comes out?
Thank you for joining us on Encounter. For more information, log on to www.encounterchurch.co.za or simply give us a call on Pretoria 012-753-9091. For more resources and updates, simply follow us on social media on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. We'll see you next time on Encounter.